Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Good morning. It's time to get up with the Packers. All in on Aaron. Green Bay making a big move to try to keep their MVP QB. Will it work? Plus, decisions in Dallas. Dak wants in on them. Will Jerry Jones actually go for it? We'll tackle that question. And oh no, an injury to Anthony Davis is worse than many first thought. So, what should LeBron and the Lakers do now? We'll talk about that and a whole lot more right here on Get Up as we say good morning to you. I'm Ryan Smith, in for Greeny. Look at who's here with me in the Seaport. We got Jeremy Fowler, Mike Tannenbaum, Sam Acho joining us live from his football man cave at home, ready to go. Look at him. Look at all the helmet, everything looking good behind him. Fired up for football, are they? But first, we got to start with the NBA and the game of the night. Sixers, Bucks, a big one, Giannis, Joel Embiid, MVP candidates, and they were going back and forth down the stretch on this one. Fourth quarter, Bucks down three. Giannis hits the open three. Bucks tie the game at 106. Next Sixers possession, Embiid, watch him go. Making the move to the basket, lays it in and gets the foul. And Embiid makes the free throw. Sixers claim the lead. But then Giannis to ex-Sixer Drew Holiday, who nails the three there. And Bucks go up two. 4 minutes left, Bucks up one. Giannis saying, yeah, I can hit threes, you know this. And he does it again. Bucks now up four. Later, Sixers down one. Embiid backing down his defender and making the fadeaway. Embiid puts the Sixers up by one. It went back and forth. 3.3 seconds remaining, Sixers up three. And Furkan Korkmaz turns over the ball. Huge turnover there, Bucks have a chance. Holiday to Middleton, the shot, no! It can't go at the buzzer, and the Sixers hold on to win it, 123-120. Now, here's what's really interesting about the NBA. Despite having the worst record of the four teams that you're seeing right there on the screen, the Nets are still favored to win the East, according to Caesars. The Heat, who currently sit atop the East standings, have the fourth shortest odds to win the conference. Great to have NBA analyst Jay Williams with us. All right, Jay, so the Sixers, big win over the NBA champs. We're now at the All-Star break. Who is the team to beat in the East?
I have to go with the Philadelphia 76ers. When you watched Joel Embiid play last night, it is he weighs 280 pounds, okay? He has the Hakeem Olajuwon footwork, but he also has the Kobe Michael Jordan operational work as it relates to where he operates on the court and how he moves. I mean, one-legged step backs. And the thing you love about him this year, Ryan, there's no dilly-dallying around. There's no immaturity, right? He might troll every once in a while on social media, and he's been injury-free. I think this Joel Embiid is the best version of Joel Embiid we've ever seen. You combine that with James Harden. I think that takes a little weight from his MVP voting at the end of the day. Mm-hmm. But I think those two together with what this team has, and I know Miami and I know Chicago are ranked number one, number two in the Eastern Conference, but I think this will be the team to beat.
Wow, and Philly fans really excited about what they're going to see when Harden takes the floor along with Embiid. Now, I got to ask you about this. We just got word overnight that Anthony Davis would be out at least 4 weeks with that midfoot sprain. What's your outlook now on the Lakers and LeBron for the rest of the season?
I hate this for Bron because I think it puts him in a very precarious situation. At 37 years old, you're 19 in the NBA. Now what you're saying is for a team that's ninth in the West, AD is going to be out 4 weeks. Now you're going to ask LeBron James, hey, we need you to do it again. There's this incredible footage of LeBron standing over AD when he's down, closing his eyes, meditating. Mm. And you're seeing LeBron saying, damn, I have to do this again at 37. 37. I have to do this again and carry this team. And the question that Rob Pelinka and Jenny Buss have to ask themselves, because I know LeBron will want to do this, is how much are you asking LeBron to go all out at 37 years old to get what? An eighth, a ninth, a tenth seed? Like there will be questions about how do you start shutting LeBron James down if in the next 10 games you guys can't get in that striking distance.
Shutting LeBron down. I can't even imagine that they're at that point.
If you go 2-8 next 10 games, AD is not coming back until what, 10 games left in the season? Wow. Like, are you chasing a 10th seed? Now, I know anything can happen, and LeBron James will probably do that, but with the bruised knee, that's when injuries occur, right? Now you're asking him to kick it into a different gear at age 37, year 19.
Not something LeBron ever planned for sure, and probably that's why he's meditating on the bench going,
37.
Jay Will.
37!
Look at him, 37. Jay Will, thanks, man.
All right, baby.
Great line.
Oh, man. Let's turn to football, shall we? Big news from Green Bay. Really sneaky big news when you think about it. Packers trying to convince Aaron Rodgers to stay. They are bringing back one of the coaches Rodgers credits for his development. Tom Clements is coming out of retirement to be Green Bay's quarterback's coach. He was with the Packers from 2006 to 2016. So, when we talk about this battle to try to keep Aaron Rodgers in Green Bay, this could be big. Let's bring our whole football crew back on it. Jeremy, I'll start with you. How hopeful are the Packers that this move will help keep Aaron Rodgers in Green Bay?
Well, this move signals that the Packers are ready to accommodate Aaron Rodgers. It gives them flexibility either way because he's a good coach. But right now the Packers, I'm told, are operating under the belief that Rodgers will let them know what his plans are between February 22nd, March 8th. That's the franchise tag window. That's when they have to decide on Davante Adams' tag. So Rodgers knows that, so they're all planning accordingly. I'm told the Packers firmly believe that they still give Rodgers the best chance to win.
Wow, February 22nd, folks. Don't forget, 4 days away. So that's how soon potentially a decision could come. And Mike, I got to say, I look at this. This seems like a move right out of your playbook.
Absolutely. I'm trying every single verb. Recruiting, begging, cajoling. It may be Lambeau Field, but it's going to be on Rodgers Boulevard. You tell us what we need to do to make you a Green Bay Packer. And in all seriousness, from a football standpoint, as Hembo pointed out, the last 4 years of Drew Brees' career, the New Orleans Saints had the best record. We could keep pushing out cap charges. It's not ideal long term, but to Jeremy's point, we keep Davante Adams, we keep Devondre Campbell. You have a chance to win. You tell us what the offseason calendar looks like, Aaron. You're a Green Bay Packer. Tell us what it's going to take.
And remember, Aaron Rodgers was the guy who wanted the voice in the front office, wanted people to listen to him on who he wants. Maybe potentially
come on
he said
in.
The same thing right
have
here. All right, Sacho, what do you make of this move?
I think it's a good move for the camp that wants to keep Aaron Rodgers, right? If you're the Packers, you're doing whatever you can to get Aaron Rodgers in your facility. Hey, I've got this coach who's been with you before. That's a positive. And I think the way Aaron Rodgers sees it, it's like, hey, man, everything that the Packers are doing now is to keep me. I would see it the same way if I was a quarterback of Aaron Rodgers' caliber.
All right. And then the flip side is, Mike, how does this work out if Aaron Rodgers says, okay, great, you brought in a guy I respect and love and who helped me become who I wanted to be, but you know what? I'm still leaving.
Yeah, I'm hard-pressed to see the Green Bay Packers as a better team without Davante Adams. He's a great young player in the prime of his career. Arguably, he's the best receiver in football. And when you look at the question marks between Minnesota, Chicago, Detroit, two new head coaches, big question mark in Detroit about quarterback, they could still go win this division. Maybe it's a Jameis Winston and Jimmy Garoppolo. So I'm keeping Adams because he's a meaningful piece for the future.
All right. Now I got to say, on that note, there's an interesting part of this discussion. We talk about the quarterback coach part. Then there's Hall of Famer Steve Young. He had some very interesting comments here. He says eventually he has a team that he says should aggressively be pursuing Aaron Rodgers. Take a listen to this.
Remember I say you have to have an owner, you have to have a general manager, you have a coach, you have to have the help on the field. What's the number one, two, three, four teams in the league that have that? And the 49ers are right there. Like, if I'm Aaron Rodgers or Tom Brady or anybody, I want to be here. I want to be there. Like, this is the place. So if I'm going to be in the NFC and I'm going to pick one of the 16 teams that's ready, the 49ers are that team. So if you ask me that question, what I think about Tom Brady for one more year or Aaron Rodgers for a couple, 3 years, this team could go win three Super Bowls.
Wow, coming from Hall of Famer Steve Young, it certainly got us intrigued. What's the likelihood of that happening?
Well, they just gave up not one, not two, three first-round picks Trey Lance. And the reason why you do that is because you want to play him somewhat early so you can get the salary cap benefits of having a rookie quarterback making $2 million a year. You can build around him. You can sign Debo Samuel, all those guys they want to keep for that championship window. So if they make that move, it signals that they don't believe in Trey Lance. And so Tom Brady could be maybe the more realistic option because he's retired. The Bucs own his rights. Maybe they want to get some draft capital if Tom's done with Tampa and they make him go get their own quarterback. But I just don't see it.
Yeah. What do you do to make that happen? Or do you make that happen if you're in San Fran?
Yeah. Well, there's no way if I'm Tampa Bay that I'm going to let Tom Brady unretire and then go into the NFC. There's zero chance.
Okay.
So, look, If I'm San Francisco, I have three ones, Jeremy's point, Trey Lance. I got to see what is there. I think you keep Jimmy G, but if I'm Aaron Rodgers, look, that's an ideal spot. I just don't see it happening because I don't see these NFC competitors letting him go there.
Okay, which builds to my other point. If you're Green Bay, are you letting this happen, even if they're throwing the house at you?
0% chance. A decade ago, when we traded for Brett Favre at the Jets, they were so concerned that we were going to trade him to Minnesota. It was actually in the trade papers that we were going to have to give up three first-round picks to Green Bay. And we were like, look, we're cutting Chad Pennington. Brett Favre is going to be our quarterback. But they were so concerned that we put it in the trade papers to make sure they knew we weren't going to do that. That's how concerned teams are about that. And if I'm Green Bay, I'll do anything but let him go to the NFC.
Okay. Sam Acho, I know you have been on record of saying that Aaron Rodgers should stay in Green Bay, but do you see a legit fit here in San Fran?
Yeah, I definitely see a fit. And I was on record pretty much saying if it's Green Bay or Denver, I think definitely stay Green Bay rather than go to Denver. But I think San Francisco could be a really good fit. Obviously, how realistic is it? That's the question. But San Francisco is a team that's beat him a bunch of times. And so it's almost that thing, if you can't beat him, join him. And so I think if Aaron Rodgers joined San Francisco, they'd obviously would be a very potent Super Bowl contending football team.
See, I think that if Aaron Rodgers is sitting back and he's watching this and he's saying to himself, yeah, why not? I have a contract that is essentially in some ways a poison pill contract, right? The whole point was I set this thing up, huge cap number. They got to work with me in order to get that cap number down or I hamstring their entire team. So doesn't he have some leverage here?
Yeah, and Aaron, we'll take the hamstring strain. We'll carry your cap charge to June 2nd. It's not ideal, but we'll do that because you are not playing in the NFC. You're a Packer, you're in the AFC, or you're going to retire. Period, end of story. You're under contract. We want to work with you collaboratively, but you can make life painful for us, and we'll survive.
And I guess the other part of that, Jeremy, is they could franchise Devontae Adams, but that doesn't leave a very happy Adams in some circumstances, maybe.
Well, here's a guy who wants to blow the market out of the water. He
right.
believes that he's the top receiver in the NFL, and he's got a good case for that. And so we're talking that market's going to be $25, $28 million dollars a year, maybe. Franchise tag is below $20 million. So there's going to be an issue, but I expect that to be a placeholder to work out a long-term deal.
In some ways, I don't envy what Green Bay must be going through in their management, but if they can pull this off and get both of those guys back, they're going to be the superstars of Green Bay forever. There will never be a time where they eat and have to pay money for a meal. Well, coming up, Dak. Well, he wants in on the decisions in Dallas. Is this a good idea? And here's the key. Will Jerry let it happen? We're talking about that coming up. Plus, should Seahawks fans be sleepless in Seattle? Is Russ on the way out? The latest when we come back.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use the code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only, not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use the code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%. Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Get Up is brought to you by Farmers Insurance. Get a quote at farmers.com. All right, back to the NBA with the performance of the night. It was that man, Luka Doncic, and the Mavs visiting the Pelicans. Taking it to the final seconds of the first quarter, watch Doncic at
the buzzer, the deep three. 19 in the first quarter, Mavericks up 45-27. And then in the second, the step back three. He was just on fire, filling it up in the first half. 30 seconds left in the first half. They're up 13. And Doncic laying it in. 25 points, 7 rebounds, 5 assists in the first half alone. We take it to the fourth quarter because the Mavericks leading by 5. And Doncic lays it in. 49 points. And you figure at this point, 50 is just going to happen. Well, watch this. Pelicans miss. Tony Snell goes for 3, misses there. And then Doncic, right, gets the rebound, gets fouled, gets to the line. First free throw, no. So close. He's laughing it off, but still, you know he wants it. So watch. No. Misses both free throws. Yeah, it's funny. I'll tell you what, he still had 49 points, 15 rebounds, 8 assists. Great night for Luka. And I'll tell you what, he's been balling lately. He is the fourth player in NBA history with multiple 45-point, 15-rebound, 5-assist games in a calendar month, and the first since Wilt Chamberlain in January 1966. Entering February 2022, no player in Mavericks history had a game with 45 points, 15 rebounds, and 5 assists. Just incredible. Okay, back now to football. Let's run the hurry up. Jeremy Fowler, take it away with Deshaun Watson.
All right, let's start with Watson, Ryan. Vikings and Bucks, I'm told, are two teams that are on Deshaun Watson's radar. Now, he's got to play out his legal situation. He's got a deposition coming up, so that's believed to be his focus. No real formal discussions going on about his future, but, you know, eventually he's going to sort of lay out what his plans are and where he'd like to be. I'm told he wants to go to a team that can win, give him the best chance, good pieces around him, good young players, good coaching. Now let's go to the Raiders. They have a quarterback that they believe in Derek Carr. Now, with Josh McDaniels taking over that job, there are many around the league who believe that Carr is the answer. He took that knowing that Carr would be the guy that he would coach with for multiple years. And so they would have to hash out a contract extension. The NFL Combine's coming up, usually a place where agents and teams meet. So Carr's reps could meet with the Raiders, maybe, you know, create a foundation for a future deal. He's been about $25 million a year, very much a discount the last few years for a top guy. That will change here coming up soon, most likely. And then we have the Seattle Seahawks. So Russell Wilson, a little bit of a different situation now, I'm told, than a year ago. I'm told he's most likely going to lay low right now, see what Seattle does, see what kind of moves they make this offseason. As you remember, last year he was a little bit vocal coming out of the Super Bowl, sort of stressed that the offensive line needed improvement, didn't feel like he was getting enough input. It is the belief that Pete Carroll and Russell Wilson are in a pretty good place right now. Seattle, I'm told, has no plans to trade him at this point. Multiple sources I've talked to would be very surprised if that happens, but it's a long offseason, as you know.
Yeah, and just expand on that a little bit, because, you know, here's the thing. The reason why we talk about Russell Wilson at all is because of those comments and because of what he put out there, shall we say, about possibly wanting to move on, about the protection aspect. Expand a little bit on the relationship between the Seahawks and Wilson.
Well, from what I was told, that Pete Carroll and Russell Wilson at one time have had some philosophical differences. You remember Let Russ Cook? That was the whole thing a year or two ago. Well, Pete Carroll's formula is to run the ball, defense, pound it. And so they've kind of had to find a sweet spot. I think all sides have been a little humbled by the way this last year went, where they had to regroup and they realized, hey, we're in a tough NFC West. We have a top quarterback. Let's see if we can make this work. Where before they've had trade discussions about Wilson with the Cleveland Browns, Chicago Bears, a few teams. So this has been looming for a while now. But, you know, I talked to one source over there who said, look, they could very much see Wilson having a big year because he's coming off, you know, sort of down year. And then in 2023, he'd be a year from free agency. He would have a ton of leverage to create exactly the scenario he wants.
That's very interesting. And I like the fact that you mentioned that both sides have been humbled. So, Mike, that makes me think, in many ways, his value might be at its lowest, but still people value him. He's incredible. Yeah. So if he was traded or if there was a desire to go somewhere else, by Russell Wilson, where would be the best fit, do you think?
Oh, that's easy for me. It's the Pittsburgh Steelers. Yep. They have a championship defense. They have a championship head coach. And now you pair that with Russell Wilson, you have a chance to now compete. Sounds weird, the Cincinnati Bengals in the AFC North. And if you're the Steelers, you got to be competing against Joe Burrow now. And you can't overpay greatness. So to me, I get Seattle on the phone. I do not get off the phone. I get Russell Wilson with Micah Fitzpatrick, T.J. Watt, and all those stars. And we have a chance to go win the Super Bowl.
Wow. So you think they should trade him? It's a better idea to trade him than to keep him.
Well, if I look at it from Seattle, I'm a lot further away because you look at Arizona, the Super Bowl champion Rams, a really good 49er team. you are a ways away from being competitive. So if I could get 3-1s from the Steelers, if I'm Pete Carroll, even though I'm 70 years old, that's probably what's best for us.
That is really incredible when you think about it. The Seattle Seahawks wanting to move on and finding it to be a better idea to move on from Russell Wilson. So, Sam, I got to ask you, do you agree with Mike T? Time to end the marriage between Seattle and Russ.
I don't, and the reason why is that Seattle has made some changes to address Russell Wilson's issues. Over the last 10 years, Russell Wilson was sacked 427 times, according to Hembo. Oof. Right? That's the most sacks in NFL history for a 10-year span. That's a lot. Well, Seattle, they fired their offensive line coach, Mike Solari. They promoted an internal candidate to address the offensive line. And so if I'm Seattle, I'm saying, okay, hey, Russ, we've improved our offensive line. Hey, Russ, we've improved our defense. A new defensive coordinator, a new associate head coach for defense. Russ, we're doing all the things that you're asking. Let's come here and compete.
I see, that's interesting. So, Mike, let me ask you about that, because in a sense, this is a little bit of, in a way, the Rodgers situation, right? Look, you complained, you had a problem, the numbers were there, you were getting sacked a lot. We brought in guys, we're doing things to try to change this around. To me, that signals that they want him there. What impact does that have, do you think, on Russell Wilson?
You know, it's interesting, and I agree with Satcho's point, but here's the difference to me. Clearly, with Aaron Rodgers, Green Bay is a frontline Super Bowl contender. Seattle, to me, has more questions defensively, yeah. A couple of questions on the offensive line. So, to me, because of the strength of the Rams, the 49ers, and the Cardinals, you're still operating from a position of weakness, not strength. And that's why, if I'm Seattle, I have to ask myself the sober question is, should we be rebuilding? And now, if I'm the Steelers, I'm like, this is a great opportunity because Russell Wilson is a million miles better than anybody in this year's draft.
Yeah, real quick, Jeremy, on the Steelers, is this the kind of move that you think they'd like to make?
Well, they love to draft. They're good at the draft. That's why I think it would be painful for them to give up, you know, if it took 3 first-round picks. I just don't know if they do it. I totally get it. I think they would love to have Russell Wilson. But, you know, you look at the Colts. It was so hard for them to give up even a conditional second-round pick for Carson Wentz because Chris Ballard loves to draft. Certain teams are like that. And, look, to your point about the NFC West, they're so loaded. I mean, I can't even imagine trying to rebuild that division. You know, it was hard enough to win with Russell Wilson. Mm-hmm. If, you know, Pete Carroll's 70 years old, he has final say over personnel. I just don't know if he'd want to go with, like, a young rookie trying to compete with Matthew Stafford and all those teams in the NFC.
How would you even do it? Yeah.
You know, Ryan, it's interesting. When you talk to some GMs around the league, you have to look at what Les Snead, you got to give him credit, what they just did, you know, with the Rams. Yeah. And all of a sudden now, like, giving up a couple of first-round picks for Matt Stafford looks pretty good. So if I'm the Steelers, although I'm a very traditional, conservative organization, again, I got a great coach, a great defense. Look how it worked out for the Rams.
Yeah, all in is the way to win now at this point. All right, well, coming up, decisions in Dallas. Dak wants in on them. But will Jerry Jones actually go for it? We'll tackle that. Plus, the injury to Anthony Davis is way worse than first thought. What should LeBron and the Lakers do now? We're talking about that and a lot more when we come back on Get Up.
NBA fans, listen up. You've got to try Pick 6, the newest fantasy app from DraftKings, an official partner of the NBA. Getting started is simple. Select if a player will have more or less of a stat. For example, will a player have more than one rebound or will a player have less than 3.5 assists? Pick your favorite players and compete for huge cash prizes. Download the new DraftKings Pick 6 app now using code Parlay and take on the competition with your best NBA player picks. Only on DraftKings Pick 6 with code Parlay. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 18 plus in most eligible states. Age varies by jurisdiction. Eligibility restrictions apply. Pick 6 not available in all states, including but not limited to Connecticut and New York. For up-to-date lists of states, visit dkng.co/pick6states. Void where prohibited. See terms at pick6.draftkings.com/promos.
Back with you on Get Up, where we're talking about Cowboy concerns. Mike Tannenbaum, let's go through your biggest Cowboy concerns heading into the offseason.
Ryan, number one, we have to keep Amari Cooper. As great as CeeDee Lamb and Michael Gallup is, Dak Prescott has thrown 24 touchdowns on 9 yards per attempt with Amari Cooper. He is the straw that stirs that drink. He actually also helps the running game because of the spacing he creates. So Cooper is number one. Next thing they have to do is we have to keep Randy Gregory. When Randy Gregory was on the field, the Cowboy defense allowed 27 opponent QBR. Oh, by the way, best in the NFL. So when you have him, DeMarcus Lawrence, and the great Micah Parsons on the field, the great Dan Quinn could do a lot of different things. So keeping Randy Gregory is consequential to that great Cowboy defense. And then lastly, that offensive line just isn't what it once was. Connor Williams has struggled with penalties. Tyron Smith has struggled with durability. It starts up front. When the Cowboys were really rolling on offense over the last couple of years, it started up front. So draft one or two offensive linemen, fortify that. That'll help the running game. That's certainly going to help Dak Prescott as well.
And look at that number right there on screen. Pass block win rate, 23rd in the NFL for a line that was once among the most dominant in the NFL. Now, this is interesting. Dak Prescott, let's talk about him, because we know that this offseason, Dak Prescott's talking point for the first time in a long time won't be the talking point, but he still wants to be involved in what's happening on the field. Now, take a look at this quote. And by the way, he was asked if he wanted to have a say in personnel decisions. He said he hadn't thought about it, but then he went on to say this: I'm not going to go knocking on doors saying, hey, I want this done, I want that done. But I'm pretty sure that my opinion will be valued in certain decisions, as I hope. So with that being said, just plan on helping this team get better in each and every way I can. So let us talk about this, because we know we talk about a quarterback wanting to have in on personnel decisions, and we know who's in charge of personnel decisions. It makes me ask this question, Sacho: should the Cowboys be giving Dak Prescott more say in decision making?
They should, but they won't. Jerry Jones isn't going to give any say to anyone. He's got a $6.5 billion team. Why would he listen to anyone else's opinions, right? Go back to history. He hasn't listened to people's opinions, whether you use Bill Parcells as a coach, Jimmy Johnson, right? He wants to do his own thing. And so I hope, right, that Dak gets to give his input. That's what he was asked, and he said, yeah, I'd love to, but I'm not going to go and ask for it. I trust my ownership. I trust my GM, and I trust my coaches.
Wow. All right. Well, so let me ask you this, Mike. They gave him the big deal. He's making a ton of money. You want him to succeed on the field. So I think what Dak is saying is legitimate. I want to have a say. I think I can have some input. I think it can be valued is the word he used. Do you think that Jerry Jones can find a way to value that opinion and show him that he values that opinion?
He should. Absolutely. I agree with Sacho. Ultimately, I don't think he will. But Dak Prescott's earned a seat at the table. And in this day and age, when you look at Tom Brady, Aaron Rodgers, Deshaun Watson before his legal issues, that's where this narrative is going. And if I'm an owner, I want Dak Prescott to have a seat at the table. Look, you're not the GM, but we want to hear your feedback, because if you have a vested interest in the outcome, then you have a much better chance of succeeding. And I think it helps morale and chemistry. So if I'm Jerry Jones, Dak, you have a seat. I want to hear what you have to say. I'm making the decisions, but your input is definitely welcomed.
See, I think it's interesting that you say, I'm making the decisions. I know you've been in this position before with players, quarterbacks. How do you show that you value a decision if somebody like Dak comes to you and says, you know what, we got to keep Amari Cooper. We have to. I mean, it's really important to me.
Yeah, we actually did that. Ryan Tannehill, Chad Pennington, when we had coaching searches, we had candidates meet with them, and the feedback was terrific. We got the feedback from those players. Again, they didn't pick the coach. And the candidates, candidly, Ryan, really appreciated sitting down with who the starting quarterback was going to be. So it's more art than science from a standpoint of, you have a seat here. We want to hear your input. You're not making a decision, but at the end of the day, we got a much better result.
Okay, Sacho, you know, it's interesting to ask this question, because I know Dak Prescott has had some incredible moments, but still some people feel like there's a little bit lacking there. You know, we can all debate that on another day, but do you think that Dak Prescott has enough clout to have a true amount of influence on Jerry Jones with roster decisions? If Jerry Jones was open to hearing Dak's opinions?
Yeah. Nobody does, right? Like, you could talk about a seat at the table. It's Jerry Jones' table in Jerry Jones' house on Jerry Jones Boulevard. No one has enough clout. I don't care how many presidents the United States, it doesn't matter. This is Jerry Jones' world. And a lot of people feel like we're just living in it, right? I grew up in Dallas. We call it Jerry Jones Stadium. That's just what it is. And so as many Jerry Jones as you can get out there, it's the Jerry Jones chair, Jerry Jones plate. It don't matter who you are. There's not enough clout for you to get at that table.
Good, Mike.
Yeah, one other point, guys. Like, when you go back to 2 years ago, Tom Brady had fulfillment not just only on the field but off the field, where all these players wanted to go there because of him. And look, they got the best result possible. They won the Super Bowl. You look at the Rams, they really cared for one another after the Super Bowl. It's clear that Aaron Donald, Matt Stafford, they have something special there. And if you have Dak Prescott part of that discussion where he can help recruit players, you're going to get a better outcome. It's called the aura of association, and it started with Tom Brady, and I think we're going to see more of this.
Okay, I want to ask some more questions about this, but we'll come back to the Cowboys in the next hour, because there's a lot more to cover on this. But first, I want to go to the NBA, because we're going to run the floor, beginning with a superstar showdown in Milwaukee. Giannis nearly had a triple-double, 32 points, 11 rebounds, 9 assists, but he was outdueled by Joel Embiid, who finished with 42 points as the Sixers beat the Bucks 123-120. And then there was Miami. Number one team in the East needed double overtime to take down the Hornets. Kyle Lowry, Jimmy Butler took over late to seal the 111-107 victory. Lowry finished with 25 points. Butler added 15. Now in Brooklyn, they've been doing it. No Durant, no Simmons, no Kyrie for the Nets. And big problems, though, against the Wizards. Washington dominated the fourth quarter in a 117-103 victory. If the season ended today, the Nets would face the Hornets in the play-in tournament. Meanwhile, the Lakers have announced that Anthony Davis will be out at least 4 weeks after an MRI showed that he has a mid-foot sprain. Davis suffered the injury in the Lakers' win over Utah Wednesday night. The Lakers are currently in the ninth spot in the West. So let's now bring in NBA analyst Chinay Ogumike and talk a little bit about the Lakers. Chinay, with AD now out for an extended period of time, I got to ask, what do you make of the Lakers going forward?
First and foremost, hey, Ryan, we're here at the Wolstein Center right in Cleveland. Harsh transition from L.A. in the Super Bowl to NBA All-Star where it's snowing outside. But, yeah, hopefully the game of basketball will heat us up. But it's been cold for the Lakers, especially as of late after AD's, you know, injury. And I would say, what do I make of the Lakers' season moving forward? It's going to be difficult. They have played with much more effort and intensity. But you're going to need Herculean efforts from LeBron James, like we saw, you know, 33 points, 8 rebounds. Last game out, you're going to need Russell Westbrook to be the guy that they actually moved and risked it all for and paid him all for. So I think overall for the Lakers, they're in a really difficult position. Ninth in the West, they're under 500, 27-31 record for the season. The next 10 games or so are going to be crucial for them to make sure they have the right positioning to put themselves in the playoffs. I would say when it comes to Lakers land, it's usually championship or bust. Right now it needs to be playoffs or bust without AD.
Wow, unbelievable. By the way, I feel like Cleveland doesn't get enough respect. Your live shot, the stadium looks beautiful. Yesterday, Wendy looked like he was talking to us from somewhere in Europe. So I feel like Cleveland might be on the come up. Now,
yeah, I definitely said I'm going to stay inside.
Okay, fair enough. All right, so let's go through some midseason superlatives. Who is your biggest disappointment so far?
So far, my biggest disappointment, it's the Lakers, unfortunately. And it was like second place for the Knicks. But I think the difference here is the expectation and the talent level for the Lakers is very different than when you contrast the Knicks. And if you think about the Lakers, I mean, this is LeBron James' 18th season. He's 37 years old. He made a huge, huge, you know, push for Russ to join them. You had AD, but there have been a lot of questions. So I think so far the biggest disappointment is, honestly, the Lakers. But now moving over to the biggest surprise, it's got to be Ja Morant and the Grizzlies. I mean, what he's been able to do has been sensational this season. This guy leads the NBA in paint points, 16 points per game in the paint at 6'3". It's wild. He's also second in the NBA in fast break points right behind LeBron James. And then his team overall, I mean, top 10 in offensive rating, top 10 in defensive rating, leads the NBA in overall rebounding, offensive rebounding, steals, and blocks. So impressive. Welcome to the dark side, in the words of my fave, Kendrick Perkins. And then MVP, it's got to go right now to Joel Embiid. Did you see what he did last night? 42-14, beat Giannis and the Bucks. And, I mean, you just have to see how many ways he continues to improve his game, starting with staying healthy and being more available, but then knocking down the three-point shot. I'm telling you, yo, he's bringing the ball up. He's going 1-on-5 at the free throw line with the mid-range. You know, he has the post play. You know, it's just been so amazing to see Joel Embiid actually deliver because he's been available with health.
All right. Now, I have to ask you, so we're at the midway point of the season, technically All-Star break. What is your finals prediction at this point?
Oh, goodness, you're going to make me do a finals prediction. You know your girl likes to take it day by day. But right now, I've got, out of the West, the Phoenix Suns, who have been the definition of consistency. I love that backcourt duo of Devin Booker, who's been averaging about 25, and Chris Paul. And in the East, normally, I would say the Bucks, because they have more answers than questions. But this move from James Harden to Philly, and then you see what Embiid did yesterday and how they really took on the challenge defensively at Giannis, I kind of right now have the finals going Suns out of the West and the Sixers out of the East. Now, Brooklyn can get it together, hopefully, if Ben Simmons acclimates well, and maybe there's a change where Kyrie is available to play at home. That will be crucial in the playoffs. But at this moment, I'm really excited about what Philly is brewing.
Wow. So Jay Will's got the Sixers coming out of the East. You've got winning the East. You've got them going into the finals. I have to say, as a guy from Philadelphia, these are some of the most astute opinions I have ever heard in my life. Incredible job, Janae. Incredible.
You must be happy. The process is working.
I guess it is. Thank you so much today. Enjoy Cleveland. We'll see you soon. Well, NBA All-Star Weekend begins tonight in Cleveland with a celebrity game on ESPN and the ESPN app. Hall of Famers Bill Walton, Dominique Wilkins are the head coaches. Team Walton is led by Cleveland native Machine Gun Kelly and Quavo. Team Neek stars Myles Garrett and Jack Harlow. No one is coming in the paint on them. Coverage begins at 7 Eastern. And no, I'm not talking about Jack Harlow. If anybody's seen Garrett play basketball. Well, coming up, it looks like it could be one and done for Carson Wentz in Indy. Is he still a starter, and where should he go next? We're talking about that and a lot more coming up next.
Delicious, meat nutritious, and the snack that packs a real protein punch. Wonderful pistachios, one of the highest protein nuts out there. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. Wonderful pistachios also come in a variety of flavors and sizes, perfect for enjoying with family and friends or taking them with you on the go. And you're on the go a lot, taking the kids to school, hopping from meeting to meeting, shopping for groceries. Well, the good news is, not only are Wonderful pistachios a complete protein, providing all 9 essential amino acids, they're also great for all your adventures. So whether you're a pistachio purist who loves cracking open every nut, or you prefer the convenience of no-shells pistachios, Wonderful Pistachios has got you covered. Grab Wonderful Pistachios and elevate your snacking game today. Visit WonderfulPistachios.com to learn more.
And one of the biggest collapses in Knicks history. This will be the third time in their last 7 games that they've lost a game that they led by 20.
They are trash! Horrible! No KD, no Ben Simmons, and you lose a 28-point lead? Spike Lee shouldn't even show up for the rest of the season. The New York Knicks are trash!
Oh, no. Well, coming up in our next hour, Stephen A. Smith joins us live to talk about his Knicks and what the Lakers should do now after that injury to Anthony Davis. Can't wait to see that. But let's return to football with best fits for some of the veteran quarterbacks, some of the best of them in the NFL. Sacho, what is the best fit for Jimmy G?
I think the best fit for Jimmy G is the Washington Commanders. Nobody has won back-to-back NFC East championships since 2004. So just because the Cowboys won doesn't mean they're going to win again. The Commanders' defense struggled last year. If they get back to form, they're a quarterback away from being a true contender in the NFC East. I'm going Washington.
I can make them very interesting. Jeremy, what's the best fit for Jameis Winston?
I'm going to stick with the guy in that uniform right there, the New Orleans Saints. He threw 14 touchdowns and 3 interceptions for the Saints. They went 5-2 with him as the starter before he got hurt. They've largely kept the band back together with Dennis Allen, former coordinator under Sean Payton, taking the reins as head coach. Pete Carmichael gets moved up to play caller. He knows what to expect with Winston. They can use that play action. And that NFC South is wide open right now with Tom Brady out of there. The Bucs have the best roster in that division, but any team could win that right now, and so I'd go Saints.
And then we talk about this man, Mike T. What's the best fit for Carson Wentz?
Just like Jeremy, we're going to rinse and repeat. We're going to go back to the Colts, and here's why. There was 2 games to go in the season, Vegas and Jacksonville. If they won either of those 2 games, they're probably in the playoffs. It wasn't perfect, but give them another year with Frank Reich. I think this is a team where they have a really good defense, young skilled players. This is the best fit for Wentz and the Colts.
He's just got to play better, and that's the theme on him. And let's just stop down on him for a couple reasons. First, today is the anniversary of the trade that brought him to Indy and sent what is now a first-round pick to the Eagles. So I know it's in some ways tough for fans in Indy saying, I don't know what we're going to do about Carson Wentz. But in the same way, I don't know if you move on from him. So I got to ask you guys this. Mike T., I'll start with you. I think it's debatable as to whether or not he's still a starter in this league for a lot of people. But if it was your team, would he be the starter for your team?
Yes, it's not ideal, but there's about 20 really good quarterbacks on the planet. And when you look at it, the draft's not ideal. This is a consequential year for Frank Reich and Chris Ballard. And again, they were only together for 1 year in an abbreviated offseason because of COVID. With 2 games to go, they were right there. So not ideal. Maybe I would look to draft his replacement. Obviously not in the first round because we don't have a first round pick. but it's the old axiom, guys. Let's win for today and develop for tomorrow.
All right, Sacho, what do you think? Would he be the starting quarterback for your team?
He would. People sleep on Carson Wentz. I got this stat from Hembo. He had the fourth best touchdown interception ratio in the NFL. And so though he had some bad moments, there aren't that many great quarterbacks. I mean, he's a good quarterback. And so for me, that touchdown interception ratio, yes, bring in competition for sure. But he definitely would be on my team.
Jeremy, what do you think?
I think they're putting Carson Wentz on notice. Mm-hmm. That doesn't mean that they're going to move him. He's got $15 million guaranteed, so they would have to eat that money. That money moves up to $22 million here next month, that they would owe him fully guaranteed money, plus they gave up the first-round pick and more for him for just 1 year of service. So feeling out of Indianapolis is that Carson Wentz was not as bad as his worst Philly days, but not as good as his best Philly days. Somewhere in the middle, you can still win with that for the most part.
A couple seconds left, Mike. Where do you know as a GM whether you keep fishing or cut bait when you have a situation like Carson Wentz?
It's a tough call, but you look at your alternatives and you look at the market. Who are you going to get that's going to be better this year in this system? And that's why, to me, Ryan, like, you hold on to him. Contract, as Jeremy pointed out, but also maybe you try to draft as a replacement at the same time.
Yeah. Okay. Well, speaking of fishing or cutting bait, we go to Minnesota. That's been a question about Kirk Cousins there. And head coach Kevin O'Connell was introduced on Thursday after winning the Super Bowl as the Rams offensive coordinator. So speaking of Cousins, O'Connell spoke highly of his new quarterback and provided a blueprint for what success might look like.
Kirk's played at a very high level, and he's done a lot of really good things throughout his career. I know who he is as a player, and I know what he's capable of, and part of our job as coaches is maximizing a player's ability to go out every single Sunday and have success. It takes all 11 to move the football on offense, to run it, to throw it, to score points in the red zone, but I'm anticipating Kirk being a part of what we do.
All right, so there you have it. He's very much saying what a guy should say when he's just getting in there. But 30 seconds on the clock. Mike Tannenbaum, can Kirk Cousins lead the Vikings to the Super Bowl?
There's a 0% chance of that happening.
Wow, zero.
I love Kevin O'Connell. He's going to be a great head coach. But how about this? As a Minnesota Viking, he's 7-22 against playoff teams. Yeah. 7-22 against playoff teams. So to me, after 29 games, what evidence do we have that he is a frontline elite difference-making quarterback, and going up against the Matt Staffords, the Kyler Murrays, the Dak Prescotts, I'd rather have those guys than Kirk Cousins.
All right, such a vexing quarterback. Gets the numbers, but doesn't win a lot of times in the big one. Sacho, which team is this year's Rams sort of a quarterback away from the Super Bowl?
I would say this one's easy. It's San Francisco. You look at their defense under D'Amico Ryan's, a top 10 defense in climbing and ascending. Look at the offensive weapons. You got a guy like Debo Samuel, who's either number one or number two in yards after catch, and so yards after contact. And so you get a quarterback. They're obviously trying to shop Jimmy G. You get a quarterback in there. Now all of a sudden, you are what the Rams were. You are what Tampa Bay was. So for me, San Francisco 49ers.
Okay, I wonder if Aaron Rodgers hears this and says, San Francisco, something to think about. Jeremy, what should the Steelers do at quarterback?
I'm going to go with the unsexiest answer possible. They're going to stay the course. They got Mason Rudolph and Dwayne Haskins in-house. They draft somebody. Just because it's considered a weak quarterback class doesn't believe the Steelers think it's a weak quarterback class. Liberty's Malik Willis, they spent a lot of time with him at the Senior Bowl, and then Kenny Pickett from Pitt. Two guys I think they'll keep a very close eye on. You could still go free agency with like a Jameis Winston, Mitch Trubisky type bridge option. So Russell Wilson, I know there's some big names out there. I just don't know if they're going to give up the draft capital it would take to get one of those guys.
Steelers fans might be like, but we thought you were going to say bring one of the big guns to town.
Maybe Jimmy G.
Okay, that could work. Now, I want to go back to the Minnesota issue because I find this so interesting. I really think that Kirk Cousins is one of the most vexing quarterbacks in the NFL because if you look at the numbers, you say, Mike, this is a really good quarterback. But like you mentioned, the record against playoff teams isn't good. Do you think, what would O'Connell need to do to maybe turn Cousins around since he seems like he's all in on him?
Yeah, no, that's a great question, which is he's been a good quarterback, not great. And to me, it's in those bigger moments where he has to go beat Aaron Rodgers. Now, he did that once, but put him in a position to be successful, rely on Dalvin Cook, rely on some of the other ways to win games, so he only has to make two or three big throws a game, and he doesn't have to carry the team. And if I'm Kevin O'Connell, I'm playing with house money, because if it works with Kirk Cousins, great. If not, I'm going to go draft his long-term replacement. That's one of the benefits of replacing the head coach.
All right. And, of course, like we said, he's just walking in the door. So best bet is to say, hey, this is my guy. We're going to do the best we can. Solid advice there, at least to a fan base.
And he's always had a defensive coach in Mike Zimmer. Now he's got a former quarterback in the room with him that will be with him every step of the way.
Great point. We have another full day of college basketball tomorrow on ESPN in the app. It starts at noon Eastern. And these are our final three games. 6 Eastern, number 9 Duke hosting Florida State. Then number 6 Kansas squares off against West Virginia. And at 10 Eastern, number 3 Arizona hosting Oregon. What a day of hoops we've got for you on ESPN in the app. Well, coming up, the Packers make a big move to try to keep Aaron Rodgers in Green Bay. Will it actually work? And when will he make his decision? We're live in Green Bay. Coming up.
Ten seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.